Hi, everybody. This is Mark Boyle, and this is episode 56 of the Prepper Guy podcast. And today I'll be recording in my car because I have some time. I wanted to talk a little bit about not so much prepping, but a lot of the YouTube creators out there that I know that do a lot of really good prepping and survival videos are all complaining about the monetization process at YouTube. And how they're having their videos put on hold or whatever it's called because they may mention using a knife or a gun for survival. And so YouTube puts it in a holding pattern to where they can't monetize it and make any money. So I've been kicking around an idea that might help them and you if you do YouTube videos of any kind, whether you're a prepper or a survivalist or bushcraft expert. And you make videos about your job or career or your business and you want to try to do a little better with monetization. So stick around and we will talk about that a little bit.
Hump day, yeah!
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm the Prepper Guy and this is a Prepper Guy podcast. In a world that's always changing and full of fear and confusion, and especially when it comes to prepping, I am a minimalist and I like to be ready for anything that life may throw at us, whether it's bad, the end of the world, or just a flat tire on a deserted road.
All right. Well, a little brief history on me and where I come from as far as talking about this subject because I suck at videos. And I'm not that good at making more than 3 cents on YouTube because I just don't get that many views and subscribers, which, by the way, if you go to Prepper Guy's YouTube channel, I'll put a link in here somewhere. I do produce videos. They're about as random and sporadic as my podcast. And so I don't have a lot of subscribers. So click the subscribe and like button on any of my videos. I have a couple hundred of them out there that you might not even have known about. And I like to talk about other things. Most of my videos are popular, I guess I would say, are the ones to where I'm driving around through Arizona and I like to talk a little bit about politics or social issues while I'm driving. And then so it's a little sightseeing tour with a political or prepper vent to it. But when I was in high school, way back in the day, I would say, well, in the 70s, we had an opportunity to take a class instead of English, which was called Modern Communications. And so they thought, well, since it's about communications, maybe they would substitute one of your years of English, which I hated English, I hated writing, I hated composition, I hated pretty much everything about, well, high school in general, and English was definitely one of my least favorite classes most of the time. So I took Modern Communications where we studied advertising. Now back then, advertising was different. I mean, there were only 3 or 4 TV channels. You know, it was the ad, you know, before, you know, cable even. And so you had your big 3 networks and a few mindless little things out there. And what politicians were famous for doing was they would hold a press conference and they would make all these elaborate pie-in-the-sky statements. And then the newspaper reporters would be there and they would photograph that and, you know, write up all the headlines about what the person said they were going to do and talk about that in the newspaper. Then the candidate would take those newspaper images and run them as part of a TV commercial, which lended credibility to the candidate because now these newspaper headlines were written about them. But it was all kind of smoke and mirrors because they could say whatever they wanted. The newspapers would then print it as almost pseudo fact with these headlines, and then it would become an ad for or against, you know, themselves or their opponent, however they wanted to play those headlines. So this is kind of how they used to manipulate things even back before the internet and fake news, because it was pretty much always fake news, depending on how you wanted to use the media. we learn statistics about, you know, 4 out of 5 doctors say this and 9 out of 8 surgeons say that or whatever. And how that really, you know, when you drill down into the numbers, what that meant. And so we really studied basically just advertising what you see and read in magazines or back then newspapers and how they would manipulate the words. And so I still do that today. I look at the things somebody was saying. If I'm looking at even something as simple as a headphone, you know, for my cell phone, they take a picture where you don't see the wire. And a lot of people I know, they'll go, "Oh, I thought these were wireless because you can't see the wire." And I go, if they were wireless, it would say it on the box because that would be an advantage to buying this set of headphones as opposed to the other ones. You know, if it's Bluetooth or any kind of technology that's new, then why wouldn't they put that on the box? You know, it's a sales upsell, kind of. So I've always been very critical about things like that. And then the following year, my senior year, I transferred to a different high school because there were a lot prettier women there. And they had the same class called Modern Media. And so I signed up for that, hoping they wouldn't notice that I had taken it in the previous school. And they didn't. So I got to take 2 years of communications and media, where we actually made a video. You know, back then it was pretty big cameras and all that. And then we put it to a song and, you know, something I could throw together right now on my PC and my laptop in about 10 minutes. It took us the whole half of the year to raise money for the camera equipment and the videotape and all that. But we learned a lot. So it was a pretty good class and you learned a lot of happy crap. So then I was always fascinated with it, went to college and studied advertising and media and just wordsmithing. And the main reason I did it, because I've always been self-employed since I, you know, a year before I graduated, I had a job and I was working and pretty much started becoming more and more self-employed as time went along. And so I just always felt it was an option and a viable skill to understand advertising because we do it in business all the time. And so if I was going to open a bar, I would go to bartending school. Not because I want to be a bartender, but because I want to know the games that bartenders play to short the drawer and all these things. So when I went to Al Collins Graphic Design School, they always gave me a hard time because my attendance sucked, but I was getting straight A's. But I wasn't attending classes because I was working and had a family at the time. And so I had even told Al Collins in one of our meetings when they were yelling at me about not going to classes. I said, well, this to me, if I'm going to have a 1,000 cards printed or posters or banners, I need to know the rules that apply to printing. How many up can I get on a sheet? You know, if I design something that I think looks really awesomely cool and I'm not flexible in my specs, then I take it to a printer and they're not going to sit there and go, you know, if you shrink down each one of these pamphlets by 1/16 of an inch, we can get 9 on a sheet instead of 6. They're not going to tell you that because that's just silly. So I wanted to know all the rules that apply so I could save money. So I told Al, you know, it's like, hey, if I'm going to have something printed, I need to know these things to save me money as a businessman. And it, you know, over the next couple months, I ended up getting walked off campus because I made a big stink because they wanted me to audit a class and take it over, you know, to get my A when they were trying to give me a C because of attendance. And I go, this is not brain surgery. Doctors can test out of a class. Why can't I? You know, it was art and I'm not, you know, I wasn't that good at art. I was good at graphic design concepts, but not the actual drawing and stuff like that. But I'd managed to get an A and they wanted to knock me down to a C because of my attendance. which, you know, was all neither here nor there to me. You know, I ended up getting kicked out of the school and paying off my student loan and forgetting about it. But then I went to, you know, college and stuff for years and learned psychology and business, psychology and advertising, all of these things that we as human beings see and perceive as it's flowing over us through the media. And nowadays we have so much more media with social media and all that. We don't even realize, and sometimes I don't even see the bullshit that's coming my way in forms of advertising and all that, because they're so slick at it nowadays. But if you pay attention to the words and stuff. So that's where I come from when I tell people, you don't have to be, you know, taking a back seat to YouTube and their monetization policies when it comes to producing a video. You know, there are alternatives out there that you can do. Now, this would never affect me because I don't have the viewers, I don't have the subscribers and all that. And I do it more for fun because it's a hobby. I have a business and that takes up 99.9% of my time. And then I have some hobbies that I try to squeeze in there. And so to me, it's not my income and my business, my life. So I just enjoy doing it and playing around with it, and people comment and go, your video sucked, but hey, it was interesting. And that to me is kind of fun. But I know there's a lot of people out there. I was talking to one of the guys in one of the Facebook groups about videos and monetization, and he goes, well, you know, every dollar helps. You know, when I do a video on a knife review or something, you know, they put a yellow or an orange, you know, dollar sign on there, which means it's under review, and then I have to put it out there and tell them to reevaluate. And then some, he goes, you know, usually after a week or two, they'll fully monetize it. Well, it's, you know, it's the first few days of a video coming out that where it could, you know, get most of its views. And so he's like, this is costing me money. And so I was trying to, you know, work this out and explain it to him without, you know, just typing a novel here, because I hate typing and I hate texting and messaging. So I'm going to put this podcast together for folks like him and you to explain what I've seen over the years of my life and advertising. So let's say that your average video gets 10 to 20,000 views, and over a month, you come close to 1 million views, which on YouTube, and a good, well done video can pull that off, especially if you're in a putting together a video that people are interested in and want to see and hear. Then you're kind of in a niche, usually how it works, unless you're just doing goofy videos that are just fun and, you know, cat videos, and then next week it's puppy videos and stuff. But if you do niche videos, and like I say, this is, you know, I'm the prepper guy, you know, but if you do videos on, you know, prototyping tools, making Kydex wallets, making anything, email list building, any of that stuff, then you're in a niche. And they tell you in YouTube and in any marketing, the deeper you drill into your niche, the more focused you become, the more involved your viewers become, because now you're touching a point, a pain point with them. You're not just talking about SEO. You're talking about SEO marketing with Facebook, Facebook ads for nutritional products, that are organic. And the more you drill down, the more you start touching people on that level, that's a pain point to them. Now, sure, you're becoming very niche and focused, but you look at, you know, the viewership on YouTube, you're still talking a billion views out there a day or whatever it is. It's astronomical. And if you drill down to the point to where you're only hitting 0.1%, you're still getting 100,000 to 1 million views. So there's a big market out there, and you have to look at it that way. If your reach can hit those people that really give a crap about what you're saying about organic only produced produce from the state of blah, 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 and you're only talking about tomatoes, you can still get 100,000 views. So once you get that niche down to an advertiser, let's say I'm the advertiser and I want to pay YouTube to get, you know, put my ads on videos, then I could go to YouTube especially and go, this is my niche. We are an organic tomato grower. And then they can look around and go, this dude does that. Those ads end up on your video. Because if they're smart in marketing, they're not just going to hand YouTube a bunch of money and say, here, just throw that up on the web. You know, no, they want those targeted ads to go to the targeted audience of 16-year-olds that eat organic tomatoes on Friday. The closer they can get to their market, the better their dollars are being spent. So with that all being said, and most people understand that, but you know, like I say, it's been a life of mine to understand the statistics and all that and the demographics and sociographics of people, buyers and advertisers. And as a business owner, I don't want to run a Facebook ad for my business in any other county than the county I live in, but in within a region of my business, my retail business, with people that are over 40 years old, that have an income of, that have just bought a new home. I don't want to know people that are buying a new home, but that have bought a older home that may be in the market for fixing it up. And then I can target it down to maybe only 1,000 people, but I can put together a better ad for that 1,000 people, because I don't really care about the other people that don't own a home. They're not going to come in and buy product from me because it's irrelevant. You know, if they're property managers, then I want to target them. So there's all this little balancing act and getting plates in the air and all that that make it work out. So I'm going to take a quick break. Speaking of advertising, throw out a little ad there for Doomsday Depot. And then I'm working on Kydex wallets, and I'm going to have them online at prepperguy.com pretty soon. And they'll be, you know, all kinds of different colors. You can pick the color of the Kydex wallet, and the band will be made out of Kydex. I'm working on some really kind of different ways to put together a Kydex wallet that's not just the Ranger band or not just a fold over. So you'll be able to pick your colors and all of that. But I haven't gotten that worked out yet. But as soon as I do, they'll be out there. So keep an eye on that. I'll have a little page there with wallets and different Kydex products that I want to build and make, because it's kind of fun. I like it. So Doomsday Depot, and then we'll be right back.
Preppers should always be prepared, and the Prepper Guy can help you find the supplies you need without having to get lost in a big box store or on a website designed to sell you everything else. Our online store offers a focused shopping experience, making it easy to zoom in to find what you need. Because we affiliate with Amazon to deliver our goods around the world, you'll always find the best values too. Find what you need at doomsdaydepot.com. Remember, that's Doomsday with a Z, where you can zoom in to find what you need and learn more at prepperguy.com too.
Okay, so we talked about the reason for a good advertising campaign if you're a business and you want to get the word out about your product. If you look at most videos that are out there, and that's what I told my friend on Facebook the other day, I go, you're talking about prepping and certain things, and I go, you need to start expanding with affiliate links and putting them down in the description. And he's like, "Oh, I've tried that and it doesn't work." But see, if you have an affiliate link for cat food, and you're talking about, you know, camping, cold weather camping, there's no correlation there. Nobody gives a shit. Now, if you're doing aluminum casting and you're going to make your own green clay, and you have an affiliate link to, you know, green clay, I think that's what they call it, or green sand, or kitty litter, which you can use to, you can filter it or screen it and then get the same, whatever it is you want in green sand, then that makes a little sense. So I said, you need to focus your approach down with affiliate links. You know, yes, do you make a little less on it? Because you're thinking, well, you know, it's Amazon. You know, they sell a $17 product and I make 67 cents or 16 cents. It's like, well, that's fine, because if you thought about it, if you made that product that someone just bought and you add in all your cost of doing business in our business, by the time everything is said and done, we're lucky to walk away with 10% that goes in our personal pockets that pays our bills out of the $100,000 or whatever in a month. We don't walk away with that much. So if you're getting 4 or 5% from Amazon for doing nothing, that's pretty damn good. You know, because if you manufactured those products, you wouldn't be making much more than, you know, you might make 30%. That's the rule in manufacturing. You know, you make it for a dollar, then the middleman makes it for a dollar, you know, adds a dollar. So now it's $2. And then let's just say Target or whoever's going to sell your product sells it for $3. Well, then you've made your 33%. But you think, well, I'm making 33%. But now you got to factor in the manufacturing costs, your overhead, your labor, your insurance, your taxes, HR, whatever you got in there, your computers, your upgrades, your software security, everything that costs you to have your business open eats away at that. And it's called your cost of goods sold. Are you walking away with more than 10%? Maybe. I mean, if you got your pencil really sharp and you've really worked it out and you've cut your cost, then yeah, you could make better. But I'm saying that's just one product. So you're not going to, you know, go into the kitty litter business to sell one product for Greensand and then go into the Kydex manufacturing and set up a whole and then compete with China, are you? So this is a good way to just make pretty close to what you would make if you owned the damn company. So he needs to step it up with affiliates. Now you can do other things, and I've watched a lot of videos like Screw the 9 to 5, and those guys are really cool and they got their stuff together. But we're talking about advertising. So we all love watching movies. I'm just going to pick history channels. I think it's History or Discovery, you know, Naked and Afraid. Let's just take that one because it's kind of survival prepping kind of thing. So you're doing that and watching that show. And then if you don't DVR it and skip the commercials, it's mind numbing. How many commercials in a 1 hour show? There's usually close to 45 minutes of actual show. That means 15 minutes of commercials. And they stop the show. Bam. Let's go watch this stupid commercial. None of the commercials are targeted toward even prepping or survival or being naked and afraid. They're just the generic Coke, Pepsi, car, Geico commercials. I mean, they have nothing to do with it. So you zone out and you walk away and go to the bathroom, make a cup of coffee, whatever you do. And then you come back when the show starts. Well, that's great, I guess, whatever. But, you know, Discovery's making a lot of money off of that. But the people that make the show aren't making that money. So their project, their video has been interrupted. On YouTube, they don't do that. They put a video in the middle, and then they throw up some things on the screen that are annoying as shit and usually have nothing to do with the video I'm watching. So as a video producer, is there a way around that? Well, if you think about it, yes, there is. You can have your pop-ups not be pop-ups like that are annoying and overlay the most important part of the screen. You can have little blurbs pop up in your video that, you know, if you're using a knife and you're whittling or making a feather stick, or you're using a software program for SEO like Yoast, or you're doing something to where you have an affiliate link with them, but you're using it because you use it. It's not you're using it because they gave it to you. You're using it because this is the program, the tool, the knife, the pair of shoes that you always wear, then now there's a link between what you're saying and the consumer. So if you're like, I love these Keen hiking boots that I bought the other day, I'm going to put a link in there, and it has a little thing that shows Keen at the bottom, hiking boots and stuff like that. And then you put a link in your description, and that link goes to an affiliate, whether on Amazon or ClickBank, or there's hundreds of them out there, and you talk about it, then you didn't interrupt your show, but you still put a 15-second commercial in there, or a 30-second commercial while you talked about the beauties of these boots and how damn comfortable they are, and you do it in a way. Rush Limbaugh made a fortune doing that, because as he was talking, he incorporated his commercial so well that 30 seconds into it, you didn't even realize he had stopped talking about whatever he was talking about and was now selling you something. And you're like, oh, shit, because I hate commercials. So this is how you do it. And then you can market affiliate products, I would say, better that way. And especially with Amazon, a lot of their affiliate programs, you can get paid per click. So even if they don't buy anything, I mean, I make pretty good money on the videos that I share on Tiotwaki channel that aren't even videos that I made, but I have a banner there that's it pops up underneath the video. And when eyeballs see it, because it's on the, the top fold of the video page, I get, maybe a tenth of a cent, but over a month, I might, off of one product, make a dollar, which I did nothing for. I didn't even try to promote it. So there's ways to fine tune it that way. But let's get a little more granular in a big way here, because that's just affiliate marketing and stuff. I don't know if any of you have ever wanted to advertise as your business on YouTube, but the average cost per view is anywhere from 20 cents to 30 cents per view. Doesn't mean they bought jack shit. That's just every time your ad pops up on a video and they view it, you're paying YouTube 30 cents. Now, they have it broken down on YouTube a little bit more to where if they watch the first so many seconds, if it's skippable and all that. But you're talking about anywhere the average 20 to 30 cents per view. And if you can lock them in with a video that they can't skip and they stay there, you just paid 30 cents. So 1,000 views is $300. 1,000,000 views is $300,000. How do you think they pay people like Conan O'Brien and Kimmel and all them $15, $20 million a year contracts? You think that just ABC and NBC are just handing out money because, we got it? Kimmel, I like you. You're a funny guy. My daughter likes you. Here's $15 million. No, it's on advertising dollars during that 1 hour show. And over a year, they will make $15 million. Now, do you think they give all that to Jimmy Kimmel? I really doubt it. In fact, I think Jimmy Kimmel maybe makes $15 million and ABC made $30, $40 million. And then they split it somehow. Even the people who work with me on a contract basis make more than I do on every job. So they might make, let's just say ABC gets paid from all the advertisers through the Jimmy Kimmel show or whoever, Conan, I don't even know who's famous because I think most of them are dicks and I don't like their humor only because they're bashing my country. So let's say that over that year, every hour, 52 shows a week or whatever, or a year, ABC makes $35 million. It cost them out of that $35 million, airtime, producer, staff, electricity, lights, computers, research, all that happy crap, writers. So ABC might only pocket $5 or $6 million and Kimmel's making 15. Well, that's cost of goods. They're happy with their $3, $4, $5 million that ABC made because they have so many shows that they're making good money. So as a video producer, you're basically the producer, the star, and the celebrity of your show. And if it was getting 1,000,000 views, actually, if Jimmy Kimmel got 1 million watchers a week or a show, he would be demanding way more than 15 million. So think about that. You're getting 1 million views over, let's just say a year. Your really cool video didn't go viral, but at the end of a year, you got 1 million views. Most people do not watch reruns of Jimmy Kimmel. So the views are less than yours. Over the year, Jimmy Kimmel might have 1 million viewers. I mean, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity are the top of the talk radio game, and they got maybe 15 million listeners per show. That's pretty good. They make good money because of that. But TV guys don't make that much money. That's why they're always getting fired. Shows are getting canceled and all that. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if you're getting 100,000 views, YouTube is making 30 cents per view on the commercials they stick there. And then they're dicking with you on how much they're going to pay you. Because if you do their pay scale, I mean, it's so much per view, blah, 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 down, 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 until out of that, you don't make that much, but hey, you're producing a video every hour or whatever, so you're making it up in volume. Wow, that's just awesome. Not for you, but I mean for YouTube. So you don't have to go out and hire an agent. And when I started the 72-hour bug-out challenge that never really took off. I mean, it's a popular website with survivalists and stuff, but nobody ever did the challenge. If they did, they didn't tell me about it because they're chicken. I wanted to give away a prize. So I contacted a company through email and said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be making a show and I want to give away some prizes. I think your backpacks, it was actually PackRabbit backpacks. I'll put in a plug for them because they're a great company. They said, would you be willing to, you know, donate a something, a prize? And I said, you won't have to put up any money and you won't even have to put up the prize unless someone wins. And the only way they're going to win is if they get so many views. And the company looked at that and went, wow, you know, a $300 pack system and we get 100,000 views. We're saving money over YouTube. Yeah, we'll donate that. And it was that quick. It was that easy. I made an introduction, told them who I was, what I was trying to do, kind of outlaid it. It wasn't even a proposal. I just went through the thing on an email and said, this is what I'm going to do. This is how it's going to work. Is this something you'd be interested in? And they came back and said, yes, we would be. They sent me all their logos and stuff so I could use it in any promotions I wanted to do. They were very cool about it. And you know what? If they'd have told me no, there's probably 1,000 other backpacking companies out there that would have said yes. But I like PackRabbit. They're good people, and I really wanted them. Now, if I was making videos and I was getting 100,000 views, let's say per month, and it was all about hiking, packing, bugging out, and I contacted them and said, hey, I do these videos, and I want you to be a sponsor. I don't want a stupid sponsorship deal where you give me free product, but I'm willing to accept 10 cents a view and I will put the ads in my video. They won't be skippable. In fact, the ad itself will be me wearing the pack, explaining the pack, using all of its features during this 30-minute video. And I will talk up this pack without the viewer ever even knowing I'm trying to sell shit. Because if it's a good video, the person's going to watch that. You don't have to always be closing with an advertisement. You can just be using that pack. And somebody watching that go, that is kick ass. I understand the purpose of that pack. I need to go buy one. Oh, here's a link at the description. Click on it. Bam. Takes you to PackRabbit. They don't have affiliate program with PackRabbit, but it took a customer to their door. And they close the sale. And that's part of advertising. They're willing to take that risk that they might pay you $1,000 for that video and hopefully sell some packs. They understand the abstract nature of advertising. But you're niched down enough to where you're talking to the people they want to see what they have to offer. If you're into packpacking And for hunting, not ultralight backpacking, but packing, and you want a pack frame, and you want it to be lightweight and comfortable and modular, those are the people you want to know that you have that product. And so they're willing to pay $1,000 because they know that video is going to reside on YouTube forever. So over 10 years, 200 million people might share that and watch that video. So they have a good deal there, 10 cents a view. And every time you get a view on that video, when you look at your statistics, and there's ways to show the advertiser that these are not just me and my friends clicking on view. It's a full view. It's a unique viewer. It's not just me and my friends. And if you get so many unique views, just even with podcasting, I know how many listens and downloads I have and how many of them are unique. Ones that have never done it before. First time listeners. So they can really drill down into those numbers to where you can give your advertiser a good deal. So let's say you have a friend that's, makes Kydex holsters and wallets and knife sheaths, and he's got a legitimate business locally. You go to him and go, dude, I'm going to do this video on this thing, and I'm going to be wearing your holster here. What would it be worth to you if I just promote your Kydex product? Not Billy Bob's Kydex. I'm going to make sure they know this is from you and your company by putting it in the description, showing the product, and I'm going to do it in a way to where my whole 20-30 minute video will be pretty much just one giant commercial for you. But I'm also doing other thing. I'm teaching people how to draw, whatever you do. I'm sure if there are a company that's not run by dumbasses, they will probably go, you do that and we will, you know, give you a bunch of product for that video and we will pay you $1,000. I mean, bigger companies with deep pockets might even say, you do that and we'll produce the video. We'll even give you some money for equipment. We'll give you all of the holsters and everything you want and pay you $25,000. Casey Neistat got started that way. You know, I mean, he did a commercial for, I think, Nike. They paid him a fortune. They paid for the production, the hosting, everything about it, and paid him money because he was good enough. And that was just to make the commercial. That wasn't to get it on YouTube. Then they had to go pay people to run their advertisement. So companies, as you move up the pocket scale, how deep their pocket is scale, if you're going to a small company like me, I don't have that kind of money. I don't spend any money on advertising except Facebook ads. But if I was into manufacturing, like some of these holster companies and backpack companies, and I have a budget of maybe 15% for advertising, and we're making $1 million a year, 15% of $1 million a year is $150,000 that's just set aside for advertising. And if someone comes along and says, you give me a lot of that $150,000 and this is what I will do for you, or you could continue to put it in the phone book that no one reads, or just useless YouTube ads or Google ads that are not targeted, or you give it to me and I will show you the end product and how many views you will get, they're going to give you a big portion of that 15% if you're smart. So there's a way around YouTube and all these monetization things. I mean, AdWords are paying sometimes even more per view or whatever how they do that. I don't use AdWords and AdSense, so I don't really care. But there is a way around it. And if you're in business to make videos and try to monetize them, I mean, if you just do them like me and you don't really care, I just click monetize just so I can make 50 cents or something. And then I it goes into my account that pays for all my other overhead for all my hobbies, which is, you know, internet shit and podcasting and YouTubing and cameras and stuff. But that's a hobby. I don't expect anyone to pay me to play golf. So I monetize it and I sell a few things. And at the end of the year, I've probably spent, you know, over $1,000 in fees and stuff or more, and I've made $50. And I just look at that $50 and go, that was $50 I did not have. if I wouldn't have bent down and picked up that $50 bill. But if you do it because it's kind of your livelihood, and you want to slowly phase out of the 9-to-5 and get something going, and you're really passionate about videos and all that, then start looking at a way to incorporate ads into your videos. And then you can still post them on YouTube or host them there, and you can still, you know, get the views and keep track of your views, but you can click it not for monetization and do it unlisted or however that is, private or whatever, to where anyone can share it, anyone can view it, but YouTube will not monetize it because they don't think that enough people are going to watch it. You can host a video on Vimeo, and then you pay for it, and they don't touch your shit. They don't put a bunch of silly ass ads and pop-ups all over the place, whether you want it or not, because you're paying them to host it. It's $50 a month, and if you have a well-done video, no one can, you know, but you still, it's hard because YouTube has, it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. It really is, you know, because they're owned by Google, which is the other 1,000-pound gorilla in the room. So it's hard to get the viewership and the viralness out of it if you're putting it on Vimeo, because YouTube will force that thing down everyone's throat. But if you're putting ads on there and your video's getting booted or censored or whatever they call it, then you're still losing out. Now, Facebook ads can do, you know, Facebook videos are still pretty untouchable. Facebook doesn't try to, you know, overlay all their money-making schemes on top of it yet. So there's ways to get your video out there. There's, you know, and especially if you have 100,000 happy subscribers, you tell them, you know, you're going to get notified when I put out a video, and watch it there, because YouTube is dicking with me, and it's not as easy to share. You know, so just come watch it. Tell your friends to come watch it. Share it all you can. And you're going to get 100,000 views. You're going to make money if you do it right. If you're going to stand there with cup in hand with YouTube, waiting for them to drop a dime in your cup, you're at their whim, and you're not in control. It's just like doing online courses. If you do it through Udemy, yeah, you have a lot more viewers and you'll probably make more money, but you will never have your mailing list. And if someday they change their algorithm, you could be making 25% of what you used to make because they decided to do something stupid and you don't have your list. So you need to be as in control as you can. And when you're dealing with YouTube and Google, you find that you're not really in control. I mean, I can't stand, you know, Google's politics and all that shit, but you know what? All of my stuff is SEO scan and all that, to where I can get at least as much mileage out of it as I can, because you still have to deal with the facts at hand. You might not like the fact that the sun comes up in the east, but it still will, whether you like it or not. So we have to deal with Google. We have to deal with SEO policies. We have to deal with marketing, with YouTube. We have to deal with them in the way we can. And the best way to do it is to incorporate your ad, or two or three or four ads. I mean, if you're putting 15 minutes of ads in a one-hour show and they're paying upwards of $100,000 for that ad on that popular show per 15 seconds, and you got four of them, you're making $400,000 an episode on 1 minute. So there's money to be made, and you got to be creative enough to do it. That's why I created Teotwaki Channel. It's just an outlet for people that are in the prepping community that make good videos to put it there. It's still hosted on YouTube. I don't host the damn things. It's just a sharing platform that makes it a little easier, because it's just right there. It's not YouTube in your face scanning all your cookies and shit. And then after the video is done playing, it pops up with a really cool share button. It says tweet and share. And it doesn't go away unless you click tweet or share, unless you click off of it or click the back button. So it kind of inspires people to, you know, to share it. If they liked it, your video didn't suck. So that's why I put that there. And if I can get, you know, good, you know, I can post any video on TOTWalkie channel I want. I mean, nobody can tell me no because it's listed on YouTube and Vimeo, so I can just share it. You know, where I can make money for the channel, you know, as far as the website, you know, TOTWalkieChannel.com, it makes money through my affiliate programs. And if somebody makes a really good video and they don't have any affiliate program, you know, links in their description, then I'll put my affiliate links in the description. But if they have their own affiliate links in there, then I don't try to, you know, crap where I eat. So I leave their links alone and I put it in the description, and I'll even go through your links on your video if you have affiliate links, and I will, you know, if they're Amazon, I will click on, instead of it being a boring ass link, I'll just, you know, get the image so that way it tries to pretty it up a little bit for you. But I'll make my money on just the viewers and the visitors to the website itself. And my little advertisers are on the sidebar and stuff. So I'm not, you know, raining on your parade or trying to take a dollar off of you. You're still getting paid through the Google, you know, ads and stuff the same way as you always would. You know, I can't interfere with that at all. It's just extra viewers, and I share it just like anyone else is sharing it. But if people are putting out good videos that are going viral and I can skim a little off of that, and if they don't have any affiliate links that make sense with the video and what that person was talking about, I'll throw in my affiliate links there and see if I can make a dollar or two. But it doesn't affect anything you're doing, you know, with YouTube when I do that. It's just, I'm telling you, get smarter with your affiliate links. Get smarter with your advertising. Talk to local people. You know, when I say local, I live in a town of maybe 10,000 people. There's nobody that could even afford to pay me to put together a video ad for them. And I'm not even that good. You know, nobody's even ever asked me to put together a website. And I have 5 or 6 websites that everyone thinks are really awesome looking, but they're just, you know, they're all poor. It's a poor community. No one cares. But if you live in an area, you know, big city, and you got some friends that have friends and play golf together and say, I got this creator. He gets 1 million views at a time. He sells your product. You should work with him direct and cut out all the middleman and save some money. They'd probably do it. And then they're writing you a check every month for $100,000 to continue to do whatever it is you're doing. And all of a sudden, you're making money instead of waiting there for YouTube to send you whatever they think you're worth because they don't like you because you talk about knives. You're such an evil hater. So that's my rant, and I hope it, you know, makes sense. Do some research. There's a lot of information out there. Advertising and marketing is really, really complicated, but it's really, really simple. If you can look at it from your perspective, because you're a buyer, and you can start seeing through the bullshit and what they're doing, you'll start understanding what they're doing. And what they're doing on a corporate level is they're going, we have this show, we think it's funny, his name is Kimmel. This is the demographic group that will be watching him, 18 to 30. And then they go to people that use those products, 18 to 30, that live in big cities and make $100,000 a year. And they're going to run advertisements for Tesla or Hyundai. They're going to run advertisements for that show for Coke and Pepsi, no matter what, and McDonald's, because everybody eats that shit. But if they're going to target big clients like Mercedes, they're going to put it on a show that has a viewership of people that give a damn about buying a Mercedes or a BMW or a Tesla. They're not going to put it on some show like SpongeBob because they don't have a job. They're going to put Mattel cartoons and shit on there for commercials. So they're doing it right. And we as consumers have never noticed that they know everything about your age group, how much money you make, how much money you spend, how much discretionary income you have, what are your likes, what are your dislikes. And a person that watches Naked and Afraid is this type of person. The average prepper has a college education, at least a bachelor's degree, and is making over $90,000 a year. They know that. And then they turn around and they go to advertisers and go, you sell four-wheel drives. Jeep 4Runner. That's what our people can afford. We'll advertise your product. They're into organic food, so maybe Whole Food commercials. Who else fits that? Gun companies. But they're afraid of those, so they stay away from them. And they just start looking at who will be watching this show. And if there's enough money out there in advertising for the niche this show will be doing, and they put together a good show, everyone makes money. So you have to do that in reverse. Who do I talk to in my videos? Who is interested? What is my demographic? That means who the hell are the people that like watching what I put together? Oh, usually, and you can just type in demographics of a knife buyer, a custom knife buyer. Bam, demographics, average, everything is on Google. And then you will see, these are the customers that I need to have, you know, watch my video. Because I can go to this knife company and say, I'm going to do a video all about your knife. They're not even going to know it. Like Chris does at Prepared Mind 101. He just goes on and on and on about that one knife. I don't know if they're his knives and he sells them or how it works. But if you do a knife review on the Gerber blah, 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 because you just love it, it's great. All your friends think it's cool. Where'd you get it? And you're going to do a video where you're going out and you're going to go hunting and then you're going to kill something and you're going to skin it with this handmade custom skinner knife and you're going to use all these products and you're going to make that video. Who do you want to talk to for advertising? Pepsi? I doubt it. You want to talk to the person that makes good skinner knives and say, hey, I can talk about your product. Here's my video. What do you think? So that's how it works. You know, if you're going to reverse engineer it, there's money to be made out there. I would not recommend, you know, sucking the hind tit of YouTube and Google. There's other ways to do it. There's smarter ways to do it. If they're going to offer you free web, you know, video hosting, which is expensive, you know, go to Vimeo and try to host that many high quality HD videos. And you're going to be paying $70, $80 or $200 a month for Wistia and some of these companies where YouTube would do it for free. But that doesn't mean you have to kiss their ass and then wait for them to fart so you get a little fresh air. You need to go, hey, look. Here's a company that will put all my videos on there for free. That will optimize them for my viewers. And if I publish them this way and I don't monetize them, I can make more money. And you're using your enemy, which is kind of YouTube, because they're screwing you. They're taking your money. So they're kind of an enemy and turning it around on them and going, hey, thanks for the free glass of water. Now I'm going to go sell it for a buck. So I hope you all enjoyed this. I hope it makes sense. As a prepper guy, you might be wondering why the hell I'm even talking about this shit. But we talk about prepping plenty. The reality is, you know, if you're not making money, it's hard to buy preps and it's hard to be ready for the end of the world. But this is a trend that's going on in the world. Knife companies, gun companies, they're being shut out of the marketplace and YouTube and Google and video producers that talk about them things are being shut down. And there's no reason to put up with that crap. You know, there really isn't. So as a person that's a video creator, whether you're into prepping hardcore or you like to be prepared, but your niche or your thing in life is video production, then talk to some of your friends that are into it and go, here's an idea. Let's do this shit. And you know what? If this helps you, then I'm happy. I'm looking for good creators for the TeeOtWalkieChannel.com. You can share, you know, upload your videos. It's called share your video. I get a notification. I make the post. I put it up there. Boom. It's on there. Looks good. Go check it out and see what you think. And, what I'd like to do, I've been trying to get some video producers that like to do small series on prepping, like, you know, a cold winter series, you know, kind of like shows like Naked and Afraid and Alone and stuff that are kind of like a 10 episode thing. They go, you know, like a video producer that's a prepper that goes, I'm going to do 10 part series on bushcraft. I'm going to do a 10 part series on that. Then I can make a page for them, just like when you go to this History Channel or Discover, and when you click on Forged in Iron or whatever the hell that is, Forged in Steel, it takes you to that page. It's real pretty. It's glittery, shiny. You want to touch it. And there's all the videos there and stuff. And I want to do that for creators, even though it doesn't really make me any damn money. I just enjoy that shit. Yeah, I'll make a little money on people just being there and some of the stuff that'll be on the side. But if the creator of that show monetizes it and makes a ton of money on it, I'm happy. That's I'm almost like trying to be like CBS without writing the contract. If you can make $100 million a year on your series, I would be happy as shit. Especially if they're all watching it on TeeOutWalkieChannel.com. Because money will just fall on me by virtue of views and stuff like that without interfering with what you're doing and making your product look tacky. So don't worry about that. So I'm looking for 5 or 6 good shows that can run all the time and filter through the year. So maybe in winter, there's a winter series, or in summer, there's a whatever. You know, like Ice Road Truckers, it's not on all year. But then after Ice Road Truckers, it's like, you know, Cooking in Alaska, and then, you know, the Edge of Alaska, and then, you know, Beaver Building Dams or whatever. You know, they have a lot of shows that run all year. If you know someone that makes really good video series on camping, prepping, hiking, bushcraft, cooking, living off the grid, and they're not as poorly produced as the shit I put out there, I think we would have a winner. And it doesn't matter. Just because they're putting their show on TeeOutWalkie channel, it's not cutting them out of the market, because they're still going to have it hosted on YouTube. They're still going to get the viral videos and all that. But let's say 6 months later, they're working on another series and they go, hey, what about all them cool videos you did on that? Well, you know what? Go to TeeOutWalkie channel, click on the series, and there they all are. It's a great place to send people to look at shit without having to filter through hundreds of videos on your channel on YouTube. Just go TeeOutWalkie channel. It's called John Doe's, you know, channel. And you go to that page, and there's my series I did last year on that. So there's an upside to it. And I'm looking for people that want to do that and want to work with this. And I expect nothing out of, you know, any of my creators. They're not even my creators. I'm just trying to say, here's a cool place to where we can make it kind of neat. And you still get the money from YouTube. If you do it right, you make more money not being part of YouTube. And here's a neat little thing where it's at. It's called TeeOutWalkieChannel.com. TeeOutWalkie stands for the end of the world as we know it. In case you didn't know, that's an acronym in the prepper community. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the apocalypse.
Well, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this show. I hope I brought something to the table for you all. As always, go to prepperguy.com, read the show notes, and run over to YouTube. Check out my channel every once in a while. I'll have a video out there, and sometimes I do the whole episode as a video. And then also, for all your prepper needs, go to doomsdaydepot.com. That's doomsdaydepot.com for any end-of-the-world supplies you may need. Other than that, I hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you later. As always, enjoy the apocalypse.